Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You see, Samson had had grace, right? And grace, and grace, and grace, and grace. He said, boy, it's just all grace. You can do anything and God will always forgive. There'll be no punishment. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. In other words, because judgment does not come quickly when you and I sin, we think, boy, there's just grace, grace, grace. There'll be no judgment.
The truth is, you can't fix yourself, and Jesus doesn't need you to. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young finishes his message, Redemption, and encourages you to trust God to help you break free from your addictions, big or small. Stay with us and hear that powerful message from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Redemption Part 2.
Manoah, Samson's dad, said, is not there an Israeli girl who could attract you? Is not there one of the Jewish girls? He was saying, you're marrying somebody who's going in a different direction, has a different world group, makes a decision about what's right and wrong in a totally different venue of what you've been taught. And let me tell you, he was saying, your marriage in the beginning has great, great difficulty. Let me tell you something. That's true today. Now, unequally yoked, sometimes it works out, but I can tell you most of the time it does not, because you've got two backgrounds, two cultures, two different gods entirely coming together and trying to be one. And that's one reason we have so many disastrous divorces, in which half of those here today married have been through a divorce. That's our culture, because somehow, some way, we married people who were going in another direction from the direction that we were taught and to go. That is the basic bottom line truth. I've experienced it in my own family, immediate family. So here we go. And they go down, the wedding is arranged. That's what parents did. And we see what happened. Samson goes down to the wedding party. By the way, you see the phrase here, went down, went down, went down. And you see the phrase, not knowing, not knowing, not knowing. When you go back and study this passage, you see, went down, not knowing, not knowing. And that is almost a symbol, a story of downhill. When we start down, we plead ignorance. We start down, we are ignorance. We start down, we always end up lower than we thought we were going to go. This is what happened to Samson. And on the way, he killed a lion. Interesting. Later on, the marriage is set, and it's a seven-day celebration. And they start having parties, and so his bride and her family, the Philistines, they invited some young men to come, 30 young Philistine men to come and celebrate with them. And Samson, always been the life of the party, always been on top of things. He said, let's have a little wager. And he said, I'll propose a riddle. If you get the riddle right, I'll give each one of you a change of clothes. If you don't, each one of you give me a change of clothes. Pretty considerable bet. And he proposed a riddle that says, out of the eater comes something to eat. Out of the strong comes something sweet. What am I talking about? What he was talking about was simply a lion he had killed on the way there months before, and now bees had got in there and produced honey. He was saying, he was talking about a lion's carcass where there was honey. Out of the eater comes something to eat, out of the strong something sweet, and they couldn't figure it out. They didn't know what he was talking about. They were going to lose. So they went to his wife, as she's called. They're still in an engagement period, preparation for the wedding, 7 days, and says, if you don't tell us this riddle, we're going to burn you up and burn your family up. You see, when you get in a new family relationship and a new culture, they think differently from what you might think. Ladies and gentlemen, when you marry the whole family. If you hadn't figured that out, you haven't been married very long. Well, I don't know about your brother. You're marrying her brother too. Make no mistake about it. So Samson here, he is caught up in this deal. And finally, the wife cries. It's for 7 days. The marriage was to be consummated. And she cries every day for 7 days. How do you like that in your wedding party? First day, she cries, oh, if you don't tell me, you don't love me. And I answer that riddle, no, these guys, they don't want to give their... And she cries for 7 straight days, folks. Listen, women, tears are deadly. Had an argument with your husband, and when you shed a tear, man, it's all over. You just won. But you may have lost by wasting your tears. But she cried every day until finally Samson says, okay, I got it. Here's the secret, he told her. And she went and told these 30 men, and they won the bet. And Samson said immediately, I don't know exactly what this verse means, but he said, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you would never have guessed. And that could have a lot of interpretation, but it means that my wife-to-be sold out to you. And then he goes and he gets violently angry, and he does an amazing thing. He goes and catches 300 foxes. And this is harvest time in the Philistine world. They got all their crops out there, all the wheat. And he ties their tails together, and he puts a torch between the fox's tail and releases 300 foxes with torches on their tail all the way through the harvest of the Philistines. It destroys the wheat, the vegetables, everything they had. By the way, that's the first illustration of taillights in all of history. But this obliterated the Philistine harvest. And they said, who in the world has done this? And they said, look, it's been Samson because of what happened there in the deal. And Samson, in the meantime, before this, had gone back after he got over his anger. He didn't consummate his marriage. He went back and tried to get back with his wife. And her daddy said, you know, I thought you were through with her and the marriage wasn't consummated. She now is married to the best man. And this is what led Samson to this deed. But when Samson went back later to try to get in relation with his wife, he took with him a young goat to give to her. Now, guys, you're looking for creative gifts. Here's a biblical, I'm bringing you a goat, honey. In the Bible, it taught, you know. And so that didn't work. And he kills another handful of them. And they get angry. Finally, he picks up the jawbone of a donkey and slays 1,000 of them. So that's what happened with his marriage. And then they ended up burning up his wife, never would consummate, and all of her family because they got the Philistines in such a tough situation. What a story. Believe it or not, that a lot of people in contemporary marriages, I can tell stories almost as tragic and disastrous as that. The biggest decision you'll ever make outside of receiving Christ is when you say, I do. Here we see what happened to Samson. We see how this whole period of his life was governed by this. And now we see what else happened to Samson. But we do that, I want you to look at the 20th verse of chapter 15. It says, so he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now, I hold on to that verse because the most amazing thing is that Samson is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 among the heroes of faith. In other words, here's the who's who of God's kingdom family on this earth, and Samson is on the list. How in the world did he get on God's list? Only answer I have is this 20th verse, when he, for 20 years, he ruled, he helped his people, restored his people in Israel. That's the only merit I can see in this guy. But that's enough to get him into the Lord's Hall of Fame. But then we see Samson in the relationship with his mom, in the relationship with his wife, and then we see his relationship with a harlot. 20 years had gone by. Now Samson, chapter 16, went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. And this is when it says, and when he was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. You see, the Philistines knew Samson better than he knew himself. He went back into sensuality. He was still addicted. He thought he'd won the battle. 20 years, the Philistines knew their man. They knew their man. And then we know this, the illustration, when in order to get out of the city, they thought they had him. He went and tore down the gates and went to the top of the mountain and held the gates of the city above his head. You see, he was a supercharged man with great, great supernatural strength. And then after this, we see the fourth relationship he had, and it was with Delilah. Look at chapter 16, verse 4. After this, he came about, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him. That word entice, boy, it's the second time we've seen it here. They told his wife to entice him, to get him to turn him in. We see Delilah to entice him. You say, what a dumb, stupid man he is. He gets conned by all these women time and time again. Hold on, guys. Hold on. Satan sees our weaknesses and plays to our weaknesses. And when it worked this time with his wife in that situation, it worked this time with a harlot. Now we have somebody who is beautiful, magnificent, charming, alluring, charismatic, and she's an entrepreneur on the side. She cut a deal with the Philistines. I'll find out the source of this strength. But you got to pay me $5,000 apiece, every one of you. And the contract was made. So Delilah, with all of her charms, begins to entice him. You want to see a story of enticement? I want you to look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 7. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, you see that it's just dim light. Then in the evening, then it gets dark, and then it's midnight. This is the way sin operates in the darkness, isn't it? And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the street. She's in the square. She lurks in every corner. She seizes him and kisses him with a brazen face. She said to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. He went to church. Oh, my goodness. Today I have paid my vow. She's a tither. Therefore, I have come out to meet you and to seek your presence earnestly. And I have found you, and I have spread my couch with coverings from linens of Egypt. You know, that's the guy, my pillow guy. He makes those linens now. And I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. And come, let us drink our fill of lull until morning. Let us delight ourselves in caresses, for my husband is not at home. We see the enticement that is here. This is what Delilah used. Go back and read that powerful story following her enticement. Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. In other words, where's the source of your strength? And so Samson says, well, it's new cords and Philistines upon you, Samson. He broke those cords. No, it's new rope. Philistines upon you. He broke those new ropes. And then he goes, he said, well, it's you'll plait my hair a certain way and put a pin on it. And Philistines are coming. And he took the pin out and he was handling them until finally Delilah said, you don't love me. You don't trust me. I wonder why. And so you don't really care about me. And then he told her the secrets of his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, when you know God and know Christ, there's some secrets in your heart with God and with him that you don't share with anybody. When somebody shares with you the secrets of their life, that's holy ground. But there are secrets we have with God that's between you and God and between myself and God. You don't share with anybody. Samson just opened up all of it. And she knew that he'd borne her heart and said the secret is in his hair. And so she put him to sleep in her lap, called a man in, and the man shaved his head while he was asleep. And that's the infamous haircut in the devil's barbershop. Then when he awakened, one of the saddest verses you can read in the Bible. The Philistines upon you, Samson, verse 20, chapter 16. And he awoke from sleep and said, I will go out at other times and will shake myself. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. If the Lord departed from you, would you know it? You see, Samson had had grace, right? And grace, and grace, and grace, and grace. He said, boy, it's just all grace. You can do anything and God will always forgive. There'll be no punishment. Look, if you would, at a verse in Ecclesiastes. It says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. In other words, because judgment does not come quickly when you and I sin, we think, boy, there's just grace, grace, grace. There'll be no judgment. But you read the Philistines took Samson. You know the first thing they did? They gouged his eyes out. They gouged his eyes out. Bound, blind Samson. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Not for Samson. They gouged his eyes out. Now he's a grinder. He is pulling around, grinding the meal there. He is in prison. He is blind. And then we read a tremendous verse. A fabulous verse, one of the also great verses in the Bible. The other verse was tragic. He did not know the Lord had departed, but this is a powerful verse. It says, he's blind, he's in prison, but verse 22, chapter 16 says, the hair of his head began to grow again. The hair of his head began to grow. Now, Samson had turned to God. Samson saw, I'm sure, the trash in his life. Samson saw the poor choices he's made. But his hair begins to grow, the secret of his strength. You see, gradually he'd moved away from being a Nazarite. dead bodies, strong drink, and now his hair, but now his hair begins to grow. He begins to get back in relationship with God. And you know the story. They took him there to the temple of Dagon, and they were worshiping. They said, Samson entertained us, and here's this blind brute there entertaining them, the one who had killed and impressed them for 20 years. And they're celebrating, and they're saying, the God of Dagon is so much better than the God of Israel. Listen, when a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ falls, the secular world applauds and says, they're just like everybody else. Dagon had won a victory. But then Samson has a lad to lead him over to the pillars of that pagan place of worship. He says, let me feel them. And then he prayed to God. Only the second time Samson prayed in these four chapters. And he asked the Lord to remember him. His hair had grown back. His strength had come back. And he took and he crushed those pillows, and the whole temple fell down. And he killed more Philistines, more ISIS-like people in his death than he had in his life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Now, as you know, we've all had periods in life when we mess up and sometimes even stumbling beyond anything we'd ever imagined. Dr. Young, how can our listeners begin the painful process of getting honest with God and letting Him lead them back into His purpose for their lives?
Thank goodness for forgiveness. Thank goodness that when we confess our sin, He is able and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means He enables us to clean up our act. So many times when we feel guilty, we're guilty because we've been caught, we've been found out about, we've been discovered. And we say, oh, I'm sorry for that. That's not repentance. It's not being sorry of our sin. It's confessing sin, turning away from that sin, receiving His forgiveness. And here's the kicker. We have to go back when possible and make restitution. We have to go back and say those tough words where we did not express ourselves accurately and say, you know, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. We have to go back and try to restore yesterday. I'll give you something personal. I was talking to a friend over the phone, and he reminded me that 7 years ago, he said some things to me that he wished that he had not said. They were off the top of his head, a moment of I don't know what, and I listened, and maybe I didn't respond too well, but he brought that back up, and there was healing. And I certainly forgave him, and whatever part I had, he has forgiven me, and I'll tell you, we begin a new relationship. Not that our friendship was totally severed, but now it's been healed because all that was said has been brought out into the light. And when it comes in the light of God, the light of Christ, He does a supernatural work in all those who are involved. So we mess up, and other people mess up, and we pay the price for it. But that all, I think, is a process of our growing up.
Thanks, Dr. Young.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young shares the story of Samuel to show you why you can trust in the power of God's presence.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.